dogs in the yard, might need a guard. Every loss, taken to heart. Me first, that cannot be. Must be these underdog episodes, see? Feeling much better, so suddenly. Under the moniker, Monica G. Crafted at night, while all of them sleep. I won't look a fool, taking this tool. Defeating the opposition around me. No, no, I'm not sorry. Yes, I'm taking this knowledge imparted. Just barking, no harm, don't be startled. Yes, I'm taking the title, and it's so vital. Thanks for the ride, I'll never be idle.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 191. I'm your host, Jared Dawkins. With me tonight, Billy Beeman. What's up, man?
Not much, brother. It's almost go time, man. We are a month out from the NFL draft, so we're ramping it up a little bit, doubling up on the profiles tonight. And before we get into that, I do want to mention, because we do have some exciting stuff coming up, we are trying to break up the monotony around here a little bit, bring on some guests. So next week, we're looking to have Tommy B. Hopefully, he's confirming still the date, but we're going to have him on one way or another. That's the co-host of the Superflex Super Show. Does some great stuff, really unique strategies, I think. So we'll get into some of that stuff with him. And then big timer, we're bringing on the big timer. We're getting Matt Waldman on here in a couple of weeks, I think 4/17. But I think we're going to have it recorded and then post it on YouTube and have it on the pod stream. So going to be a lot of fun. Going to talk to him about the rookies, talk to him about his RSP and all that good stuff. So I just wanted to throw that out there, man. Just stay tuned and look out for those.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, it's good. I mean, we get to this point and it's profiles, a little bit of news, but like, it's nice to bring in some other people who maybe think differently than us, different mm-hmm. voice than our voices. Should be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's hop into what little bit of news we have. Rashee Rice, car crash. Got to talk about it because it's a thing.
Jesus, man.
He was involved in a car crash. And apparently left the scene, which sparked a ton of trades, which we'll go over at the end of the show, as we usually do. But have they found him? Did he make a statement? Like,
have they located the man yet?
Yeah, and I don't mean how did you feel about it? How did you feel about this? Like, did you panic at all? Do you own any Rashee Rice?
I don't. The last share of Rashee Rice I had, I got rid of along with Olave for an Anthony Richardson share. So I would have felt good about that either way. But yeah, the situation is, I don't know. There's a lot unknown right now. So, right. Like I don't think they located him. He definitely released a statement through his lawyer. And I think that he's cooperating with the police was kind of the latest news. So whatever that all means, doesn't seem like he was driving. Seems like he is escaping a lot of liability here. So at the end of the day, it's probably a buy low period. I'm not going to lawyer this up. There's still information to come out. So we'll see what happens. My best guess is a short-term suspension, like a very short-term suspension. I don't think anything will be long-term, but I imagine that the NFL kind of wants to nip this stuff in the bud. It's not Henry Ruggs, but it could have been, right? Nobody was injured, thankfully, but it could have been. So I'm sure that they're going to hit him with something. It just probably won't be that serious, given kind of the details that have come out, unless something else comes out that we don't know about.
Yeah. I think a couple did have to go to the hospital, but nothing
so that'll impact it depending on how serious it was. But it seems like, again, like I said, he's escaping like the more serious repercussions of this. So we'll see.
Yeah. If you follow Drew Davenport on the old Twitter mm-hmm. box, he's pretty good at this, really level-headed about getting all the information and the facts set straight. His first assumption is not to panic on Rashee Rice, for what it's worth.
That makes sense. And we've seen tons of panic. So there's opportunity if you're a buyer, if you believe, you know, Paul Patterson, friend of the show, Pure Potential Pod, he's a big Rashee Rice believer. I mean, he's going to buy him up if he goes to jail. No, I'm kidding. But he's going to buy him up no matter what. So I think, you know, it depends on what side of this you're on. But there's, you know, we'll talk about it at the end of the show. A lot of opportunity there.
All right. Are you worried about Chase Browns or Zamir Whites, given the good running backs in this class that will be available later for these kinds of teams?
It's an interesting idea, right? Because we're talking about, a lot of people are talking about how this running back class sucks. And it's just, there's no top end talent like a Bijan or anything like that. There's actually a lot of good players in this class. You know, the Brooks, the Jalen Wright, some of the ones we're going to talk about today, Trey Benson. There's guys who are going to likely be picked in some rookie drafts at the end of the first round, right? So they're talented guys. If they're going to fall in the draft to, you know, the third round, like, they're still talented. It doesn't change the fact that they're talented. Is it going to give opportunities for these kind of teams to invest in those players is kind of, I think, the idea. And I think it's possible. And I think it's something that we should, you know, be thinking about and not investing so much into guys like maybe a Zamir White, who it looks like he, you know, is safe from a serious addition at running back, but who knows? Like, if they add one of these guys we really like, that could change things. So it's just, it's something to think about for sure and keep on your mind.
Yeah, the part you brought about is just like how much later these running backs will likely go in the NFL draft, which makes it a little bit more palatable cap-wise and such for these teams to go ahead and take a shot on one. So if you know you could get, Bucky Irving to the Raiders or something, right? And then you're stuck with Zamir White. You never know, but it is something to think about. I still think that, Zamir White at this point in time is pretty safe. Chase Brown, I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, he already has to fight off Zach Moss, so we'll see if they do anything else there.
Not too much other news. I know CEH signed back with the Chiefs for 1 year. We talked about Dobbins last week being able to be cleared to meet with teams and be available for their off-season training stuff. So something to keep an eye on with Dobbins.
Yeah, he visited the Chiefs and they took a look at him and said, "Man, we'll sign CEH." So
yeah, so that's not great.
not super encouraging, but we'll see what happens with Dobbins. I thought that would have been a pretty solid, 1-2 punch with Dobbins there, at least giving him a shot. But that's not the direction they're going. So we'll see.
All right, that's all the news really that we have. What's happening in prospect profiles this week? Billy wants to go ahead and do 4 of them, running backs, which is my absolute favorite, but. I'll do what I can, and then Billy will fill you in.
Sense the sarcasm, all right?
It's okay. I'm just, Jonathan Brooks. We'll start with Jonathan Brooks. 3-year player, just looking at the box score, it looked like his last year was really the only one that was good. I don't really know exactly who he was playing behind the previous 2 years. Even if I did know, I probably wouldn't remember by now. So 6 foot, 216, a good-sized kid, 29.3 BMI, just like a 36th percentile.
Wasn't Bijan there? Wasn't he at Texas? He's Texas, right?
But like, what was that, 2 years ago?
Last year. He's a rookie last year, Bijan, so yeah.
Jeez, time flies. But no testing numbers for Jonathan Brooks. I think he had like an ACL thing back in November, if I believe. I believe I'm correct here.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, no testing numbers for him, so we don't have anything to really compare, but that's okay. I'm sure the tape will tell you that he's pretty athletic. Final year, 1.5 yards per route run, 3.91 yards after contact per attempt, 13.3 yards after the catch per reception. I'm guessing he has pretty good hands, or at least has good vision when he has the ball in his hands. 32 career targets, so not a whole lot of opportunity there with the receiving. PFF has him as elusive rating of 140.3, which is a really good mark.
Mm-hmm.
His missed tackle for he had 63 rushing and 13 receiving.
Missed tackles forced,
my bad. And PFF, pass blocking grade of 77, which is a good mark. Mm-hmm. Actually, one of the better in this class. And then during those pass blocking situations, he allowed exactly 0 pressures last year. So he must be pretty good at it. What do you got?
Yeah, it's funny. Actually, some of that really lines up with what you see on the film in terms of like the receiving ability. It kind of stood out because I think he is a really talented receiver. He has good transition speed, all that kind of stuff, but I don't think he's like a great route runner. So it's not, I think he's, it's kind of a double-sided coin in terms of what he offers. I think he's great at leaking out of the backfield, and he definitely has good hands, but I think he is a little bit limited in terms of the routes, which is fine. I mean, they're running backs, but some of these guys that we're going to talk about today are a little bit better in that regard. So he has great vision. I mean, that's definitely one of his better qualities. Really good contact balance, and also really good blocker. So that all kind of stands out. I think he does lack a little burst, in my opinion. He's like a really solid running back, right? I mean, this is a guy who is probably going to end up being the running back one in this class. He could easily be drafted, as the first running back off the board. I think him and Trey Benson are probably the two candidates for that. But
yeah,
I think he's a really well-rounded guy, but I do think he lacks a little bit of juice. Okay, I mean, he's patient, he's elusive, he's a versatile runner, but he does have limited long-range speed. That's right from my notes. He lacks dynamic burst and transition speed, but very few holes fundamentally. Excellent pass catcher, above average vision, contact balance through traffic. Ideal build for a running back, great bend at the knee and hip fluidity. Quick, but not fast. Lacks speed. He runs tall and a bit flat-footed. He reminds me a little bit, like, stylistically of guys like Marshawn and, like, Ramondre, kind of.
Next one, Jalen Wright. I think I actually will like this kid quite a bit. He'll probably be one that I'll go and actually watch, because I think he could be fun.
we're going to like him a lot because he's running back three for us, and that's the highest between ADP from Dynasty League Football and KTC. So we like Jalen Wright around here.
Jalen Wright, 3 years. Again, played 3 years in college. 5'11", 210, 29.3 BMI. Very similar to Mr. Brooks. He ran a 4.38 40, so dude's flying. Speed score, burst scores from Player Profiler have him in 95th percentile. Last year's yard per route run was 1.32 per PFF. 4.35 yards after contact per attempt, which is pretty good. Seems like a dude that not easy to get down. His yards after the catch per reception, 7.9. Again, I mean, I don't know about the opportunities, but it seems like when he has the ball in his hands, he's able to make a couple dudes miss there. Only 34 career targets. Pro Football Focus elusive rating is 132.2. His missed tackles forced was 43 rushing and 5 receiving. His Pro Football Focus pass block grade, 72.6. So he's a dog there. And in those pass blocking attempts, he allowed just 3 pressures. What do you got?
This guy has, I mean, he has the highest score you can get for blocking for a running back. And I think only one other running back in this class matched that. I think it was Marshawn Lloyd. Both those guys, exceptional pass blockers. So that totally lines up. This guy is electric in the passing game. I mean, I'm surprised that he didn't get more targets, but he's our running back three. I think he's got it all. Now, he does, I think, lack some vision at the second, third level, maybe. You know, he can kind of try to break it outside, use the speed a little too much sometimes instead of just taking what's there, the green grass in front of him and going. And if you go on our YouTube channel and you check out the film room on him, there's examples of that I point out. But there's also just so much good in his game. I mean, the contact balance is there. He, like I said, he's an excellent pass catcher. He's got great footwork, great burst. And again, the lowest grade that he got in terms of any of the attributes was the vision, but really, really elusive. I mean, everything you want to see. He's a fluid runner with excellent burst through the line of scrimmage, great transition speed after making a move. He does lose some speed taking angles, turning corners, but not really a cause for concern. He excels as a pass catcher, breakaway speed, forces missed tackles, and hard to tackle. Potentially the best blocker in the class. That's kind of my overall notes on him. So I really like Jalen Wright, and I'm hoping that he gets a really nice landing spot and some decent draft capital so that we can keep him kind of up here at the top of the running back class.
Excellent. I like that a lot. I remember your YouTube profile that you did of him was just like, okay, I think I'm going to like this kid. Yeah, and this is the first time I actually went in and looked at the numbers for him. So, yeah, to have him third on our board makes a lot of sense here.
Flashes, man. And, he's actually, if you go and look at the film room, you're going to see this image up there, but you're going to see the ADP KTC is way different. I think he was in like the 30s and more like running back 10. So after and I think that was before the combine maybe. So after the combine, a lot of stuff shifted. So he's risen up the ranks and he's a really interesting prospect.
All right, next one, Bucky Irving. It's crazy. So I go through multiple databases to get my numbers. I use, Player Profiler, PFF, and then I stick with, P. Howdy for other certain little things. But yeah, I was trying to find Bucky Irving in Peter Howard's database. It does not exist because
the name.
His name is not actually Bucky. I didn't know that. I don't watch Oregon football, right? So, but yeah, Marquise Bucky Irving is its real name.
Yeah, it's funny. PFF has it only Bucky. I thought they would have his real name in there, but yeah, it's interesting where you go. It'll
just
be different.
Get the player ID correct. You would think that they'd use the, but yeah, no, they're smarter than that.
Yep.
Bucky Irving, 3-year player again, which is great. 5'9", 192, a little bit slight, 28.4 BMI. Ran a 4.55 40. Last year, 1.2 yards per route run, 3.99 yards after the catch per attempt, or yards after contact per attempt. Yards after the catch per reception was 9.6. Again, he probably got a little wiggle in his game. This is pretty good. Career targets, 104. Pro Football Focus elusive rating of 149.2, which is really good. Missed tackles forced, 69 in the rush game and 21 in the receiving game. Pro Football Focus pass blocking grade is 23.6. Pressures allowed on those attempts was 2.
I didn't really think that he was great in terms of blocking, which kind of makes sense. He's a little bit smaller of a guy, but still sometimes, Kyron Williams is a smaller guy too, and he gets in it. So, other than that, though, he can run more than just swing routes. Like, he can run slants, fades. Like, you see that stuff all on tape, which is super interesting because you don't see that out of a lot of running backs. So he's an excellent pass catcher. He also has excellent contact balance for his size. He's slippery, but I don't know if he's like electric, right? He does lack some burst. So, I mean, he's good in short area, making people miss. He has a good base, sufficient vision, but doesn't really excel in that regard. So I think he's more average than he is above average in a lot of these attributes. I like him enough to kind of slot him in as our running back six right now, which matches with KTC. But looking at the ADP, he's a little bit lower than that. And he might end up a little bit lower than that for us at the end of the day.
Last one here, Will Shipley. I was hoping to like him more than I think I do. But three-year player, 5'11", 206. 28.7 BMI, he ran a 4.42 40, so plenty of speed there. Last year, 0.99 yards per route run. I mean, I don't know if, again, this might have a lot to do with scheme.
It's not good.
But it's not good. 2.92 yards after contact per attempt, also not really good. 104 career targets, though. So they must like to throw to him the ball, but it just doesn't seem like once he gets the ball, he's doing a whole lot with it once he has it. Pro Football Focus has him as an elusive rating of 51.5, which kind of jives with the whole yards after contact thing. Missed tackles forced was only 27 in the rushing game and 8 in the receiving game. Pro Football Focus gave him a pass blocking grade of 25.2, and on those attempts that he had, he allowed pressures on 4 of them, or 4 pressures. So, doesn't seem too shifty or all that stout to get up there and protect his quarterback. But what do you see?
It's interesting. Like, I don't think he has elite lateral agility by any means. I actually think he lacks some lateral agility, but he does exhibit pretty good bend below the waist, and he illustrates ability to evade defenders. However, it's really strange to me because I did, like, peep the numbers before I watched him on film, and I'm like, after I watched him on film, I'm like, how did the numbers even get to this place? It doesn't really make sense because he might be the best receiver in the class. It's really strange. Like, he's up there with the best of them in this class for sure. Like, I think he runs exceptional routes, like, all over the place, really good transition speed and fluidity, really good receiving ability in general. Like, the hands are great. He's, you know, he's not letting balls hit his chest or anything like that. He has pretty good burst, but I mean, in terms of blocking, like, he's leaking out more often than not. So, I mean, it seems like he's willing to get into it, but there wasn't that much on tape, to be honest. Like, when you go and watch the games, he's really more, like you said, leaking out in the passing game. They want to get him the ball, whether he's effective or not, which is, I can't make sense of the numbers. But he doesn't exhibit long speed, great short area quickness and elusiveness, decisive runner with burst through the line of scrimmage, good change of direction and transition speed, but lacks some acceleration from standstill. Average to above average vision. Doesn't always make the perfect read. Exceptional pass catcher and route runner, especially for a running back. Excellent physicality. Better burst than speed.
Interesting.
He doesn't make sense to me. His profile doesn't make sense to me.
You're liking him a whole lot more on film than what, you know, mostly PFF has for him. Well, that's interesting. It seems like maybe, you know, it probably has a lot to do with just maybe the offense where, you know, they're trying to get him to check down, but, like, maybe he's just not that great with the ball in his hand.
He is what? Though. He is good with the ball. Like, go, like, he is pretty solid.
Well, it sure doesn't look like it.
I don't know if it was like more of like, not more of, I don't know if it had something to do with, like you said, with the offense, the scheme, that kind of stuff. But yeah, it just didn't line up to me when I like, especially when you just give me the whole profile and I'm thinking about kind of what I watched in my notes, and it just doesn't line up. So yeah, he's going to be one of the ones that is going to be really interesting, like, where he goes and to see if it's going to be a team that is going to utilize him as a pass catcher. I've seen guys say that they think he can be a more, like, full-time, well-rounded running back. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't necessarily see that, but I do think that he offers, like, a skill set that the NFL is going
to
like.
Yeah, and to be fair, like, these are most of these numbers I pulled are from his last year, not like a career year. So if I dug into it more, maybe, you know, maybe his first couple of years were better on film than, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he had a down year, but it doesn't really seem like it to me. So,
yeah, I mean, he obviously, I think he stayed in school an extra year or two when he probably didn't need to potentially. He also might've had an injury last year. There's definitely some stuff in his profile. I think that, you know, there's some caveats in his profile, put it that way. But we kind of line up right with the community, right? With ADP running back 10,
RB10,
in the middle of the third round. And I do think that's like a like with running backs, we talk about this all the time, right? Like, if you're going to get quality opportunity at running backs in the third round, like you want to take them there probably because, you know, they can definitely pop. So I think this class is riddled with those kind of picks in the third and fourth round.
I agree. All right. That was fun.
It was. I was going to see, it wasn't that bad. Your other running backs aren't
No, that's all right. No, I'd like to go. I'm just a little more familiar with the wide receiver stuff. Just a little more comfortable with it. I could kind of like, when I'm looking at the numbers, I could kind of visualize what it's going to look like on the field. With the running back, there's just so many things that play into it. Scheme, offensive line, and all those kinds of stuff. Like,
yeah, I mean, I'm trying to look more at them individually as a player and then kind of add that context in later to say, like, do they fit into this scheme? Do they fit into there? But I think if we can get a good idea of, like, them as a player and, like, what they're good at in terms of their attributes, if they're well-rounded or not, like, you can get a good idea of, like, the kind of, you know, style of player you're going to get at the next level. That's at least what I'm trying to do so I can, you know, understand once the draft capital's added to that, like, okay, what can this guy actually do there, like, with that opportunity? Not just a guessing game, or at least less of a guessing game.
Absolutely.
Let's just hop into the trades, man. Let's do it. We're going to have a shorter episode this week.
It's all right. Big Rashi Rice trade day. Like, you know, a lot of times, like, something happens with a player and they're like, oh, go sell this guy or buy this guy. Not often do I actually see folks do that. Like, but that's not the case with Rashi Rice. Like, with Rashi Rice, it was like a fire sale. Like, we have one guy in our Discord, Joe, and he was posting, I mean, within hours, multiple different trades that had taken place just with Rashi Rice. It just has one piece. So I thought it'd be fun to talk about him. See if maybe it's a little overreaction, if it just seems right. So the first one is Rashi Rice for Curtis Samuel and the 401.
Man, whoever sent Curtis Samuel, or I mean, whoever sent away Rashi Rice there is feeling awful today, I'm sure.
Yeah, I would feel pretty bad waking up knowing I did this.
You just got to clutch your pearls sometimes. Like, hold on for a second, man. Like, it's we've seen it too many times with these guys. Very rarely do they just get tossed into, you know, the oblivion and they're not going to play ever again. That's not how it works.
And I think a lot of people were worried that, like, oh, he's just going to get cut, you know, and so, that's the second round. Yeah. Anyway, that's a pretty terrible trade. I'd be pretty happy to have Rashi Rice after that. Next one is actually pretty fair, really, but Rashi Rice for Michael Mayer. I'm going to assume a tight end premium of some sort.
In terms of like, I think it was tight end premium, but in terms of ADP, like, that's got to be absolutely an atrocious trade. I mean, that's a 10th round. I don't even need to go look at it. I know where Mayer falls. That's a 10th round pick for Mayer. And Rashi Rice is a 5th round pick. So,
well, yeah, it's worse than I thought.
Yeah, you just can't take a bath on it like that. I don't know. I mean, these are real trades, so it's like it's worth talking about, and maybe people are still, you know, like, people play with their morals, which is fine, like, play however you want, but like, those are the opportunities where you're going to be able to still hit these, I think, today.
Yeah. I mean, and probably maybe, you know, at least I would assume that some of these are, not everyone's a Rashi Rice, like, believer, right? Whether they maybe, should be or not, like, you know, I don't have any of them. I know that Jake likes them quite a bit. And he's a fine player. I mean, he's the best wide receiver on that team. But so maybe people are just like, hey, finally, here's an opportunity. Get what I can for him. Who knows? Next one, Rashi Rice for the 211 and a 25 second.
I mean, I guess we're increasing in value on the opposite side of Rashi Rice, right? What is that, the
211 and a 25 second.
So, I mean, that's still pretty bad. Yeah, I mean, okay, if that's how you want. Yeah, that I don't like it. It's not, none of these are good because they happened the day of the news or the day after the news. So, correct. Yeah, it's what I'm upset about is I didn't capitalize on it, on any of this.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I usually don't. I
Jake doesn't want to be associated with the Rashi Rice believers in this climate, right?
It's too bad. It's all documented on audio, video. Like, we have proof you like Rashi Rice, Jake.
All right. Well, at least this next one has some legs to it. This one we can at least, you know, maybe talk about for a second.
So we have Rashi Rice, Mike Evans. I'm assuming Mike Evans. 208, 310, 305, and a 25 first. For Amon-Ra St. Brown and Dotson.
Uriah's trying to calculate it in his brain. It's like one of those memes where he's like all in front of his face.
I think at the end of the day I'm still going to take the Amon-Ra side.
That's what I thought, and I think we posted this one in the DU Discord, and it was a lot more even. Like, people were like, yeah, that's, I think Paul was in there, and he was like, yeah, that's a pretty fair deal for, or a pretty good haul, I think he said, for Amon-Ra St. Brown. So
it's a lot of dart throws.
I mean, Mike Evans is not a dart throw necessarily.
No, he's not.
And a 25 first is decent, but we're talking about dynasty, and we're talking about long-term. And, you know, Mike Evans could totally fall off this year or the next, and it's likely going to in one of the next, you know, 2-3 years, if not sooner. And I would just much rather have Amon-Ra St. Brown on my team. Now, I think people like Paul and others, and I'm not trying to shit on Paul. Paul is just a good friend of mine, and we talk about this stuff a lot. So that's why I'm referencing it. But I think a lot of people, you know, see Rashee Rice in the end of a season and literally comp him to Amon-Ra St. Brown. I mean, we talked about it on his podcast. There are a lot of similarities that you can look at. I don't think that he's the same player. I don't think that he's dynamic. I don't think he's as dynamic. I don't think that he's the same kind of route runner. He has a lot of development to do to get to the kind of player that Amon-Ra St. Brown was, I think, even in his first year, okay, let alone where he is now. So, you know, I think this is an interesting one. The person selling Amon-Ra St. Brown was like, I think, no chance of contending, and was like, you know, I need to kind of try to adjust, rebuild, do something here. So this was, I think, their attempt to kind of do that. They said at the time, they're like, I'm not worried about Rashee Rice, he's coming back. So this was a trade trying to take advantage of, I think, the Rashee Rice news, but also from a guy who's believing, I don't even care about it, and openly stating it right after making the trade. So yeah, I mean, I think we both clearly fall on Amon-Ra St. Brown's side, but it's close, and this is something that you can get done. Like, I would be shopping for Amon-Ra St. Brown right now, personally. And if I could do something like this, maybe hold a piece back, maybe change the 25 first to a second, maybe I could do something here. But either way, I like their Amon-Ra St. Brown side, so you can do something like this, and I'd be pleased with it, I think. And I don't even care about Dotson.
No, that's fine.
I would look for another add-on, probably, but yeah.
All right, last one. One quarterback.
Actually, I should have said that last one was one quarterback too. I should have said that.
Okay.
Yeah. That, which actually probably makes it even more Amon-Ra St. Brown with that 25 pairs.
It definitely does then for me, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
One quarterback. Kyren Williams, 25 first, 203. For Breece Hall, 25 third.
I thought this was an interesting one. And again, so this was actually context, probably fair here. Same team that traded away Amon-Ra St. Brown, traded away Breece Hall here. And again, I'm telling you that they're trying. They see their team as like no chance of competing, so they clearly want to rebuild. So I do think that the Kyren side kind of makes sense if you're doing that. But I would personally want to then trade Kyren away almost immediately after, because he's not a long-term piece, not nearly, not even close to what Breece Hall, I think, would be long-term wise.
That's what I was thinking. I think, you know, if you're rebuilding, I think I'd probably still want Breece over Kyren. So I agree with you there 100%. Like, I would be looking to shop Kyren now, maybe get another first. And then you're sitting pretty pretty with your 201, 310, 305, and 203 this year. And next year, you'll have two extra 25 firsts and a 25 third. And if you can move Kyren for another 25 first, then what? You would have four total 25 firsts and an extra 25 third.
Let's not discount Kyren Williams right now. He is, and I mean his value, he is sitting right next to the 106.
Yeah.
In ADP. So you should be able to get a 25 first plus easily. Maybe two first, maybe a first and a second, maybe even you can turn him into an early first this year. And I'm looking at Superflex, so it'd probably be even a higher pick. You know what I mean? So, and yeah, I don't know. I think I would really be looking to do that if I made that deal. It's not my favorite thing to move Breece like that personally, but I kind of get it in this situation. And I would just need to do a little bit more work, I think, to make myself happy with it.
It'll be interesting to see what this team looks like here in a month or so after he's done making some moves, where he's going to be sitting ready for next year. I'm intrigued.
Awesome. All right, let's talk about a couple of Discord trades before we get out of here. We had a couple pop in recently. Curious what yins think. I love this guy, Joe, man.
The yins. Joe? Yeah, Joe's awesome.
It's just the yins, the yins. It's amazing. It's very unique to his personality, so I dig that. Assume both contenders. Team receiving Stroud has Herbert and Baker, 10-team super flex.
Okay.
Side A is getting Stroud and Mims. Side B is getting CMC and Puka.
Stroud and Mims, CMC and Puka.
Superflex 10-team. And the team okay. getting rid of CMC. The quarterback has Herbert and Baker.
Yeah, CMC, Puka side. Smash. One quarterback or 10-team? Yeah.
No, yeah, it's Superflex though. Yeah, I am right there with you, man. Like, I was surprised though because I'm sitting here and I'm like, it's Superflex. But in 10-team, obviously, you have more available to you, right? Mm-hmm. In general, probably on the waiver, or at least more people willing to get rid of them, whether they're on their team or not, right? So they're a little bit less valuable at the back end, so you can definitely fill in that gap if you want. And you obviously have some studs still at the quarterback position, and now you've added, you know, well, I mean, we can look right now, but Puka's a second round, both, you added two second round starter picks for one first round starter pick. I mean, yeah, it makes sense. And this is going to add a ton of firepower to the team. So I like that a lot. Yeah.
You're going to be competing. You have Baker and you have Herbert. Like, those guys are playing this year.
Yep.
This is a good shot for this team to win this year.
Yeah.
By adding those absolutely. High powered offsets. And then, you know, if it doesn't pan out, then trade away CMC in the playoffs if you get booted or something like that. Because I don't know how viable he's going to be next year.
Absolutely. Okay. So how about this one? 12-team Superflex tight end premium. Okay, Superflex tight end premium. 106 or Trey McBride.
Oh.
So essentially we're saying Bowers or McBride.
McBride.
Mm. That's tough.
You hope that Bowers is able to do what McBride did.
What if J.J. McCarthy goes, you know, top five in the NFL draft?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a top five, you know, quarterback probably sitting in that range, right? Like, if we're thinking about the way the draft's going to go, you're going to have Caleb, May, Daniels, the two receivers, that's five. So at six, you're going to have your opportunity at J.J. McCarthy, who just went top five, or Bowers, or McBride. Like, how are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean, J.J. McCarthy on the Vikings, that's my pick at 106. Bowers.
Do you want to hold on your 106 maybe until the draft?
I think like a month ago, you know, that wasn't even something we really considered. It was no matter how many mocks you did, Bowers was going like 106 and it didn't move at all. Now we're starting to think maybe there's going to be another quarterback added to the mix. That does make it a little more interesting. If I could snag that other quarterback at 106 and super flex, I might be willing to move McBride for that, but probably not. I probably hold on to McBride. You know, top tier tight ends are really hard to come by.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is why I think like it's you know, valuable to hold your picks closer to the draft because you are past the draft into your rookie draft, right? Because yep. you get those landing spots and things change. And obviously things can go the other way too. But I think that you could probably still make this trade because things are going to at least be Brock Bowers at six, right? So you could probably make this trade anyway on draft day, almost no matter what, but you might be able to get plus, who knows, if you don't want, even if you didn't want McCarthy and he's there, it might increase the value of that pick. And then you can get Trey McBride plus, who knows, there's opportunities. So it's something to think about for sure. I thought that was a really interesting one when I was looking at that.
All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
Oh man. Like I said, a little shorter episode this week, but I, you know, we're ramping up for the guests, the upcoming guests. Like I said, at the beginning, we'll have Tommy be on hopefully next week. And then we're going to have Matt Waldman on in a couple weeks here. So definitely stay tuned for that. I'm honestly planning on getting a couple other people on, you know, to chop it up about the rookies and stuff like that. But yeah, other than that, join our Discord, or subscribe to the YouTube channel, and stay tuned for more.
Thanks everyone for listening. Follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Underdog, at Uriah Dawkins, at Willie Beeman DFF. Listen to us on Spotify if you listen to us via podcast form. Other than that, have a good night.
Peace out, fam.
Peace out.